In Deuteronomy chapter, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, we have Moses extolling the greatness of God. If I were to put it in vernacular, he's just bragging about how great God is. And we come to the verse that I want to park at this morning and consider. Verse number 11. And we find these words. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again that we could come to your word and allow your word to speak to our hearts. God, this morning I pray that your word would meet needs. Lord, as we are here gathered in your house, Lord, many are the needs of your people, one in need of one thing and one in need of another. And I pray this morning that through the power of your word that you would meet every need. Lord, I pray for that one who may not know the Lord Jesus Christ, who may be closest to hell. I pray something would be said from your word this morning that would turn them and desire and give them a desire to know you and as a personal Lord and Savior. And we'll be faithful, Lord, to give you the glory for all that you accomplished this morning in your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Over the period of time that we were preparing to come back to the States, I kind of had in my mind exactly where I would sit in the plane, and I sat in my favorite spot as always. And it allowed me every once in a while to just raise the blind and look out that very special part of the plane that made our 13-hour trip from Ghana to America possible. And I saw the men and various individuals raise their hand, indicating that they were part of the armed service. And I don't know what branch you were in, but maybe we can play guessing game. What part do you think I was looking at and having a great appreciation for? Amen, brother, you nailed it. The wings. And I really got to say, I have a fascination with wings. And we arrived, and my wife planned it perfect, because I want you to know, I'm as red, white, and blue as you can be. Amen. Amen. I'm glad to be an American. Amen. Amen. I thank the Lord. Because of that, I'm able to go anywhere in the world and serve the Lord. We arrived as a family in the United States on the 4th of July. Amen. We didn't go to LA. We didn't go to Atlanta, but we landed in Washington, D.C. Amen. And I wanted to feel that patriotism. I wanted to listen to my president speak and just feel the joy of being on American soil. Amen. And as we arrived, we got in the subway. And we arrived at the building called Archives in Washington, D.C. We came up out of the metro, and as we walked out of the metro, there was the granite buildings to the right, the Archives, and then to the left, I don't know the name of the building, but as we were walking through that corridor of such grandeur and greatness, overhead came the second largest military plane that we have. I believe it's the stealth bomber. It was black as could be. Amen, black. Amen. And I looked up and I thought, oh my goodness, I'm so glad I'm on the winning side. I'm so glad the boys up there represent me. Amen. But again, I was struck overwhelmingly with the impression of wings. And I began to just spend time in the Word of God to find out what the Bible has to say about wings. And I was drawn to this passage, and I like it. I want to read it again and just see if we can digest and see what it is that God wants to teach us. As a eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. The eagle is a grand and majestic bird. It represents our nation, and it is 42 inches long from the crown of its head to the end of its tail. It has a wingspan of 86 inches. It's a beautiful bird. An eagle, it doesn't reside in the lowlands. As a matter of fact, it finds the highest possible cliff. And it builds its nest in the side of a rock. It's not a small nest. As a matter of fact, the nest can sometimes be as tall as 4 or 5 feet. And there's some interesting characteristics about eagles. The eagle has one life mate. Amen. That sounds pretty good for me. One wife for life. Amen. That works. Amen. And not only does it have a lifetime mate, but they work together so that in their existence that they would make a place that they would be able to have their young. It's not, the nest is not built by the female alone, but they labor together. Finally, the day comes that mother eagle has prepared the nest, and the preparation of the nest is immense, because there's great big sticks and there's great big all kinds of things that are in the nest, but what the mother eagle does in her preparation brings in some soft things. She'll bring in leaves and various other comfortable things, that perhaps even a cloth or a rag, but she creates an environment where the eaglet will be comfortable. She sits on that egg for a matter of 14 weeks, and at which time emerges from this egg an eaglet. And that eaglet has an interesting behavior. And it reminds me of how many of us are as baby Christians. Amen. The eaglet kind of goes like this. And mom puts what is needed in that eaglet's mouth. She goes out and she catches a rabbit and she'll rip it apart, and that little eaglet will go, and she feeds it and feeds it and feeds it. And over a period of time, let me tell you about eaglets. My wife and I went to a very fascinating place earlier this week, and it just seems to fit into the message. We went to a bird sanctuary, and they have all the birds that all of us love to have. And fortunately, I actually get to have one because I live in West Africa and I didn't have to pay $3,000 for it. Amen. It just kind of flies around, and you talk to the guys, you get it pretty cheap. But we were there and I wanted my wife to see it. I said, you know, I've said this so many times, you got to see it. They have a nursery, a bird nursery, and the most beautiful bird, the macaw. I mean, it's beautiful. All the various colors on its feathers. When we go to the nursery, you see this great big head with this huge beak, and they don't have one feather. All they have is a bunch of little wiry things, and it's like the ugliest creature on the planet. That's what an eagle looks like. And you know what? That's what we look like in our formative stage. But little by little, that mother eagle keeps delivering the necessary nutrients that that eaglet needs. And little by little, that eaglet begins to grow. And all of a sudden, there emerges feathers. And little by little, it begins to mature. And there's a practice that the eagle implements. It's called imprinting. The eagle, the male eagle is the leader in this process, and he gets on the edge of the nest, and he'll catch the wind just a perfect way, and he does not fly. He simply glides over the nest. He doesn't fly. He simply glides. And so this little eaglet is looking up, and what's being placed in his mind is the ideal that you can fly. You're here, and mom's feeding you, and mom's equipping you, and mom's preparing you, but you can fly. And that happens over and over and over, and the mom does it, and dad does it, and then mom switches, and mom does it, and that reminds me, the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go. It's a responsibility. Our government wants to take away that responsibility, and they say they know better. They know what our children should learn. Don't allow it. Don't sit by passively and say, well, it's legalized. It's okay. No, we need to imprint upon our children the word of God that they would live it out. And that little eaglet, over a period of time, has a full coat of feathers. And the mother eaglet begins to do something very, very unusual, and it seems so biblical. She begins to withhold that regular daily process of feeding. The scripture says that she begins to flutter the nest. And I want you to understand, you may not understand what's going on in your life. You may not look and see the difficulties that God has allowed to come into your life, but I guarantee you, you can fly. Amen. If you simply receive what God has given. She begins to create an environment that is irritable. And every way that little eaglet moves, it's like something is sticking him or her, and they just don't realize, but they don't yet realize that they can fly. But I want to just explain to you something very interesting that eagle does. And I don't understand it. But I know that God has placed within the eagle something that intuitively they know what to do to make an eagle fly. The scripture says that she taketh him on her pinions. And so if I can use my sanctified imagination, I don't know how she does it. Some way or another, Mother Eagle is able to coax that little eaglet to get on her back. And she gets on the edge of the nest, and she takes off, and she begins to open those wings, and she begins to fly, and the little eaglet is on the back of that mother eagle. And she does something very interesting. That eaglet is flying, flying, and all of a sudden, she removes herself from under that eaglet, and that eagle begins to fall. Sometimes you may feel like you're falling. But can I say to you that God has placed within that eagle the ability to recognize the little eagle, it just doesn't quite get it. The gravity is taking its course, and if I don't do something, he's going to perish. And the scripture says that she buries him up. She comes under. She doesn't let him perish. She comes under him and she takes him back up. Can I say to you this morning, I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know what you're going through. You may feel like you're just falling and everything's coming apart. He will bear you up. God will never give us more than what we can handle. He'll come under. He'll take us back up. And you know what? He takes that. I could imagine I could just be childish for a little while. The little eaglet, when mom grabs him and takes him back up, she probably says, "Mom, why'd you do that? What's going on?" But she takes him up again. Probably goes a little bit higher. And all of a sudden, she does it again. And that little eagle starts falling. Puts out one wing. He puts out the other one and begins to realize, I believe I can fly. He balances out. He gets his equilibrium. And my goodness, I could imagine he probably starts realizing, man, I have visual acuity. I see a rabbit. I'm hungry. And he goes into autopilot and makes a nosedive. Can I say to you this morning, these are the wings of learning. There's some things that God wants to teach us. There's some things that God wants to do in your life and my life that only as we allow him to take us through a process of learning that we'll be able to do it. Can I say to you this morning, the wings of learning are active in our lives regardless of our stage and phase in growth in life. Doesn't matter if you're 90 years old or if you're 9 years old, there's still some things that God wants us to learn. I want to look at another set of wings. Turn with me this morning to the book of Job. Job 39:13. This passage is so powerful in that God knows how to speak to us where we are in our life and in our experience, so that we clearly understand what God's saying. And in Job 39, God is unravishing in the life of a man who has gone through significant loss and adversity and trauma, and God is revealing his power. And he uses two winged creatures to describe that. And I want to help us this morning and just see what Job understood when God spoke to him, referring to these creatures. He said, "Gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks, or wings and feathers unto the ostrich?" In the period in time in which Job lived, there was tremendous mysticism and all of these things that were rampant in the environment, and there were images that the people knew or when referenced to gave them a clear sense of what was being spoken of. And God says to Job, he refers to the peacock. And the mindset of the in that time of history was that the peacock, with its many eyes, I like to describe it. They don't just walk; they strut. And then when they strut, they stop. And when they stop, it's almost like, I know I have your attention, so look at this. And they open up their tails. And it's so beautiful. And what you see in their tail is eyes. And in the minds of the people, those eyes represented omniscience. But can I say to you this morning, to the contrary, a peacock is not omniscient, but our God is. He can see around the corner. Amen. He knows what the future holds. He's able to help us navigate through those things that we never thought we could, because his grace is sufficient. And he's omniscient. He's all-knowing. And what we have to learn to do, moment by moment, experience by experience, day by day, we have to learn to trust him, because he knows. But then there's the reference made to the ostrich. And in the minds of the people, again, God knew where Job was. God knew the culture. God knew all the things that were going on. And so he references the ostrich. And the ostrich is considered to be the largest bird, the most powerful bird in the avian kingdom. And it's so large. It's 2 feet taller than me. It probably weighs 300 pounds. Something about the ostrich. If you look in archaeology and you look in many of the ruling the kings, their mugs were fashioned out of the ostrich, and the ostrich represented omnipotence. Can I say the ostrich is not omnipotent? Our God is. He's all powerful. He knows everything, and he has the power to move kings, to cause nations to rise and to fall. Can I say to you this morning, we need his wings. I tell you, I felt so good looking up and feeling my American patriotism. But I want more so to be under the wings of my Savior. Amen. Let's look at that. Look with me this at Psalms 36, verse 7. It says, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. This verse has one word that encapsulates two words. That word, loving kindness, encapsulates the word mercy and grace. And mercy is God not giving me what I deserve. And grace is giving me what I didn't deserve. I like to give the Kearney definition of mercy and grace. I remember when I was living with my grandmother, and we would have our cousins would come down from the big city of Los Angeles, and we would just have a wonderful time, and we would get in so much trouble. My grandmother called it devilment. And we'd get in so much devilment, but when we got in devilment, she had something to fix it. She had what we knew was an elm limb tree, and she would get a nice switch, and she'd line us up, and she would say, I'm gonna get you off of old and new. And boy, she'd start working on my big cousin. They'd be running around, and she would get to me, and she'd go, you be good. That's called mercy. God does not look at you and me for what we are, but he looks at us for what we can be. And that's how mercy sees me. I deserved just what everybody else got. But in his mercy, he saved me. Here's grace. And this is the current definition of grace. I've always been about 6'2" since I was about 13 years old. And I remember getting in the cafeteria line, and I'd sit there and stand there, and you know how in the cafeteria line they have, you know, the few things that you get. I don't know what they're called. Yeah, they're called entrees and then the main dish, right? And so I would pick my entree, and they would serve it on my plate, and then get another one. They serve it on my plate. And then when it came to the main entree, where there was this little lady in the cafeteria that would serve that, and she would serve me a big old, I mean, she would pick that spoon in there and give a heaping spoonful, and she'd put it on my plate, and then she would look at me and smile, and she'd dip it back in again. That's called grace. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. The wings of his loving kindness. Can I say to you this morning, you heard me brag, I'm glad I'm an American. I'm glad that I carry an American passport. But I'm more glad that I'm saved. Because my life rests under the cross of Calvary. That represents grace and mercy. They took our Savior and they hung him to a cross. They dropped him deep and they spread him wide. They thought that they had won a victory. But now I rest under those same arms that are now wings of grace and mercy. I don't know where you are this morning, but if you aren't under his wings, you're at hazard. And my desire this morning is that you would come under his wings. Wings of learning. Wings of omniscience. Wings of omnipotence, wings of grace, wings of mercy. I want us to look at the last set of wings this morning. Look with me in Matthew chapter 23. Verse 6. All right, 37, not 6, 23, verse 7. It says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophet and stoneth them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicken under her wings, and ye were not. I'm reminded of the story of an old farmer had harvested all of his crops, and thunderstorm, I don't know quite the details, but that night his barn caught on fire. He did everything he could to stop the raging flames of that fire. Neighbors came and they weren't able to stop the fire. And the fire ensued and it went on for more than a day and more than a day and a half. And finally all that was there was lost. Went out in frustration to assess his loss. He had more than just his harvest. He had his poultry and all the other animals there. And he was looking at the corpses of each animal. He looked over and he saw a scorched hen. And out of his frustration, just walked up and kicked the hen, and under that hen were chicks that were still alive. Can I say to you this morning, the greatest place that we can be spiritually is under the wings of our Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what you're going through, doesn't matter where you are, I want you to know that he knows and he cares and he's able to meet you at your point of need and give you the grace and the mercy that you need to continue to carry on. I pray this morning, if you aren't under his wings in the area of salvation, that you would come. And that you would place your life under his wings. The scripture tells us that all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. It tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. This morning, if you're out of that place where there's eternal safety, we want to invite you to come. And maybe you're under his wings. I want you to know that the enemy's looking for you. He's looking for an opportunity. Stay under his wings. Stay faithful. Stay true. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes as we have a time of invitation. Father, I thank you that we can rest secure under your wings. And I pray, Lord, this morning that as your word has gone forth, revealing, Lord, your character, your nature, I pray that we would receive whatever you bring to us that you want us to learn, that we would be quick to recognize and allow you to teach us. Lord, that we would be willing to trust your omniscience, your all-knowing. Lord, that we would be willing to trust your power, your ability to overcome whatever it is that we're going through. Lord, help us to rest and, Lord, relish in your grace and your mercy, which saves us. Help us to know that we have wings of protection to protect us. Lord, we love you. Help us to love you more. I pray this morning that someone would respond if they have a need of salvation, Lord, and then that we who are saved, that Lord, we would rejoice in all that we have in you. In Jesus' name.